The first reading is taken from the first book of John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And our second reading is to the Gospel of John, chapter 20, from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
preacher can't preach without a Bible. Right? Father, Lord, thank you that you can give us this opportunity to be in your presence today. Thank you for the words that you have given me. We ask, Lord, that they move in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our children will be learning about Thomas. If you want to learn about Thomas, then you can go that way. If you want to hear what I have to say, then you can stay. I've already said good morning to you, but I want to say good morning, church, because I hope it is truly a good morning on this low Sunday. After the experiences of a high Sunday, Easter Sunday, when our Lord was risen, no longer dead, and no longer buried in a grave. This week, as Sheila read out to us, we read and we hear of the disciples, his followers, all in disarray, hearing reports that our Lord, their Lord, is risen. And he has appeared first to the women and then to some of the disciples, and at some point to a locked door, appearing behind closed doors. So it is with great confidence and joy that we say, he is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So even in the confusion, then and now, I suggest it's a good morning for us. First, because we can gather. Second, because you and I can give thanks this morning. Third, because we can worship and praise God. Fourth, because you and I can come and ask him to bless our way and provide for all our needs. Fifth, we should want to know God more, not for just the blessings he gives us freely, but knowing him more means that we understand why the world is the way it is and why he died on the cross for us. And to understand his transforming grace so that we in turn can do his bidding with knowledge, in truth, and in confidence. Amen? So we come in fellowship this morning, seeking his reassurances of grace. We come seeking his reassurances of grace wherever we find ourselves this morning. But I must confess that I'm overwhelmed with what is going on in the world. I am overwhelmed with what is going on in the world. I am sick. I am saddened by our leadership. Look at what's happening in Gaza. How can we allow over 30,000 people, men, women, and children, nearly 200 aid workers, dead, and over 75,000 Palestinians injured? How can this be justice? How can this be proportional? This episode, I'm afraid, has exposed our double standards in our Western leadership. It's scary and it's frightening. But you know, brothers and sisters, for centuries we've allowed evil. For centuries we've allowed the transatlantic slave trade to continue. Then the people got colonized before they were imperialized. and today the voices of the voiceless can be heard. But who's listening? Failure of leadership continues. 6 million Jews killed here in Europe. Then the people spoke, never again. Failure of leadership. Then another genocide in Africa, Rwanda. The world stood by till it was too late. In 100 days, 1 million people slaughtered. Failure of leadership. Before then, it was apartheid in South Africa, allowed to go on for too long. Again, failure of leadership. The world stood by until the voice of the voiceless became louder. No wonder the people of South Africa identify with the people of Palestine. They know what it is to be dehumanized. This is me just naming a few, a select few. The list of leadership failures is so long that if I continued, you might regret coming to church this morning. So I'll stop. But the bad news is not over. It keeps coming. We create technologies and do not provide leadership necessary to protect and safeguard its users. Our people are dying, our children are dying. And if they are not dying, they are being corrupted in body, soul, and spirit. Social media is now their guardian angel. Protection is lost, and social media offers little or no protection, even for the strong, let alone the vulnerable and the weak. I'm not against technology. Information technology has been my bread and butter. Our rivers are being polluted by water companies, and our leadership offers no protection either. So it's no wonder, I don't know about you, but that I feel overwhelmed this morning. Day after day, the news is bad. Corruption and greed everywhere we turn. Cowards and people pleasers everywhere. But Jesus, our Lord, knew all too well of these hypocrites. And that's why he hung on the cross until it was finished. But today, even though we know this truth, the truth we proclaimed on Easter dawn 2024, yet I find myself mostly underwhelmed. I hear myself, maybe you also say, it's just another Easter. We've seen many. So what? The world has not changed. And where is the risen Lord? Where is the light of the world in this our darkness? Why should we keep going? Are things really going to get better? If the truth be known, it looks like things are going to go from bad to worse. I take it from my ranting this morning, or my ranting thus far, that you can easily deduce that I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling this Easter. I'm not feeling, whatever that means, I'm not feeling it. But the truth is, I am standing here this morning only because of my faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? My faith in God is unwavering because his love for me, I know and I feel it. I know that I know that I know that I know that he lives, and his Holy Spirit in his enabling and equipping you and me today. So my faith is not in crisis. The world around us might be, but our faith should hold firm. My faith is holding up. How is your faith? Is it holding up this morning? Because John writes to you and to me this morning. John, not only a disciple of Jesus, but someone who knew the Lord well, writes to reassure us this morning and for all time that Jesus, our God, is the light of the world and that he is the Word from the beginning, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. All for love's sake, because he loves you and me. He loves his creation. Amen. The truth is, these days I find myself a reluctant preacher. I'm reluctant to preach these days because I want to preach the gospel, but I'm afraid that my words will be taken out of context. While challenge is right, we Christians fear being seen as bigoted or bigots, as our truths do not chime with modern thinking. Our truths are not acceptable to mainstream and to the social media generation. But neither did our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we have to believe that he will equip us to speak and to do his will through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is soft and gentle, generous and true. Moses lacked confidence and gave every excuse not to fulfill his calling. But we know that he who calls us will equip us to do his will. If you and I do not take up our crosses, who will? So let us not give up in fear, but rather lean on faith and his understanding. I recall Psalm 137 this morning. By the rivers of Babylon, where we weep, but then we remember Zion. We remember God and we remember our Savior. So however difficult it is for the church, guess what? We have to sing the Lord's song in the strange land. We have to sing the Lord's song in the strange land. It is the only way we can remember the good news and remind ourselves of the gospel truths. Our reading from John's epistle is that God matters in each and every one of our lives. God matters. As Christians, we should know this. But not only know this, but act it out. By this I mean live it. Live it. That is a life of prayer, a life of communion and communion with our Maker, enabling us to grow in relationship with him as we understand him better and his purpose for our lives. That's why we were made, to worship him, to understand him, to live out our purpose and the purpose he has for us. Then others inside and outside the church would see his righteousness in us and glorify our Father in heaven. How I hear you cry out to me this morning. How? Well, the sign of a Christian is our preparedness to forgive. the sign of a Christian is our preparedness to forgive. How many of us find that difficult? I wouldn't put my hand up, but yeah, we do. One another as Christ forgives us, we have to forgive. The Lord teaches us, the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And one line says, forgive others their sins, so that our sins too can be forgiven. And the very gospel reading this morning is a reminder. Then the same day, that evening, being in the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be with you. When he had heard this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. But then verse 22 and verse 23. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. But more importantly, he says this, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The mark of a true Christian is his or her ability to forgive. When we fail to forgive, our growth in our relationship with God is stunted. We subject ourselves to darkness. Which is why I think he says to us, soon after the risen Lord meets with us, he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The mark of us as Christians is forgiveness. His perfect sacrifice on the cross was to redeem us. Our perfect redemption, it is finished. All our sins are forgiven so that we too can forgive others. If he, the unblemished lamb, can die in our place, how much less is it for us to forgive those who trespass against us? It doesn't get better than that. It doesn't get better than that. Forgiveness drives you forward as a weight off your shoulders. Receive the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Through forgiveness, God becomes our light, and people see the light in us. Are you ready? Are you ready to come go with the Lord? John continues, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and you have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And true fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. It is Low Sunday, brothers and sisters. But the High Sunday did come. And finally this morning, we're in church. We're in church as a sign of fellowship with him and with each other, because this is scripture. And I think we have designed our church services, our worship, our fellowship, to enable us to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and then to enter into a refreshed relationship with our Lord and Savior. So I want to just pause for a moment and ask you to bring to mind that which is troubling you this morning. That person that is causing you pain. That thing that is causing you pain. That situation, that set of circumstances. Just bring it to the Lord. No ifs, no buts, no. Just bring it to the Lord. Whether it's your doubt, whether it's your shame, whether it's your confusion, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So let's not look to the brother and sister that we think is sinning against us, but let's look to our sin. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, brothers and sisters, when people say, why do you go to church? I think church is where God's people are gathered, not just the building, where God's people are gathered. You can be a Christian without, can you be a Christian without going to church or without coming to church? My answer is that church is where God is gathered, where God's people are gathered. And offers the opportunity for fellowship, for community to grow. The crowds always gather to hear Jesus. You grow and you learn together. I think our joy is full, our joy is complete when we come together and see miracles performed. Our lives are transformed as we learn how to worship Him in spirit and truth. That's why we're here this morning, even if we didn't know that. As we learn how to take our burdens to Him in spirit and in truth, to be people who are always ready to call Him Master, to call Him Teacher, to call Him Friend, to recognize that He's our God and our Savior, the light of the world that will bring everlasting peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So as we look into our troubled world, and maybe our troubled lives this morning, our households, our society, our communities that we serve. Let us not be so troubled that we lose our faith. Let us not be so troubled that we don't go to God with our prayers. Let us not be so troubled that we stop drawing near to God in faith. Israel will mend. Palestine will mend. All the other trouble spots in the world will mend. You and I will mend. Because He hung on the cross and He died. It is finished. He is now risen. He's reigning in our lives. Receive Him today. Receive Him today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.